I'm shifting gears this morning. For the last few weeks, we've had one series of sermons called The World Versus the Word. And this morning, for the next 4 weeks, we're going to start something new. It is how to, dot, dot, dot. Because we need some skill set. We need to learn to be able to meet a dying world. We need to be able to manage. Have you ever read the book, How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying? There's a lot of great how-to books out there. How to Win Friends and Influence People. There is self-help books anywhere. There's whatever the topic is, you can find help for that. I have a book that teaches me how to do electrical wiring so my hair is not curly. But if you name the topic, there's probably a how-to book. But the greatest how-to book that we have that's been given to us is God's love letter to humanity, this, God's Word. Last week, we talked about the power of God's Word, of reading that and experiencing God. And it's through reading His Word that we unleash the power and the direction that God has for us in our lives. And inside of these pages, supernaturally infused with His Spirit, are the how-tos of everything we need to live our life. Just read Matthew 5, 6, and 7, also known as the Sermon on the Mount, and you will see almost everything you need to know to live a Christian life. Whatever the topic is, this is your resource. So I thought between now and Thanksgiving time, I would put together a series of sermons because maybe we need some skills and some new things to learn. So here's your topics for the next 4 weeks. And I think if we were able to develop these skills, this would help us. This morning, we are going to discover how to find purpose. How to find purpose. Next week, we are going to learn how to turn our frown upside down. Does that sound fun? We have a gloomy world out there, and the most happy people should be the believers of the Lord Jesus Christ, but sometimes we're just grumpy, and we need to learn how to turn that frown upside down. 2 weeks from today, we're going to learn how to dress for success. Well, there's clothing we should wear. We're going to learn how to dress for success. How best should we clothe ourselves to meet a dying world? We're going to discover that together. 3 weeks from today, is one of my favorite days of the year because after service in the gym is our Thanksgiving pitch-in. It's glorious. And I just want to describe this for a moment. That here's what you will experience. You will experience a mile and a half of tables of food. It goes on and on and on. And it doesn't end. It is a wonderful... In your bulletin, if you open your bulletin, and on the top right page, the top right side, you will find information about the Thanksgiving pitch-in, all that you need to know. Bring yourself, bring your friends, bring your family, bring a side dish to share, and we have a sign-up sheet out here on the bulletin board. If you would like to make a turkey or a ham or to prepare some dressing, there's a sign-up sheet out here. Now, don't just bring an uncooked turkey on Sunday morning. Do I have time to put this in the oven, Pastor? No! Here's your job. Sign up to bring a turkey. Cook it. And after you cook it, dismantle it in whatever form you like, and then bring that to the pitch-in. Now, we have a few spots, and we need your help to fill those, but the rest of you, just bring a side dish and an empty stomach, and I promise you, you are going to be blessed. So, 3 weeks from today, we're going to learn how to be blessed. I don't know if I've ever met anyone that would say this. No, I don't want any more of God's goodness flowing from heaven into my life. I've had enough, Lord, thank you. Woo, I'm so blessed. No more. I think we can unlock the secret and how to be blessed. In other words, how to keep the blessings flowing from heaven. Are you interested in that? I want that for my life. I want that for your life. So we're going to discover these things over the next few weeks. But this morning is about how to find purpose. You hear me say this a lot, that the reason why we exist is to bring glory to God. That is something that I believe to be true. You don't have to climb up on top of the mountain and find that gray-haired Swami to ask him the meaning of life. The meaning of life, the reason, Josh, you have breath in your lungs is to glorify God. It's the reason why you exist. So that applies to everyone in this room. We all have the same purpose or overall meaning of our existence. And that applies to everyone in this room and the other 8 billion people that are not in this room. We're here. We exist to glorify the one who made us. We didn't make us, Carly. The Lord God made us for a purpose, His purpose, to bring Him glory. Now, here's the thing. I can stop there and say, well, that was a short sermon. Pastor said, how to find purpose. Okay, the Lord made me to glorify Him. We could say amen and go home, but no. That is our overall reason for being. Now, here's what we need to discover. If we all have the same reason for existing, we need to discover how we go about finding how we glorify God. Because, Amy, the way you glorify God might be different than the way I glorify God. Because God will position us differently. God will give us a direction for our life that is different, maybe, than the next person, the person sitting next to you. How do we discover that? How do we find our individual pathway to fulfill our overall reason for being, glorifying God? How do we find our individual purpose? How to find that? I think we should use God's Word to find it. When I read the stories in God's Word and I look at the heroes and heroines in God's Word, I'm captivated. I'm in awe. And I think, could my faith ever be that great? And then the Holy Spirit reminds me, Steve, they're just men and women. They're just people. You're a people. Let their faith inspire you, but you can accomplish the things that they accomplished. You can live like they lived. You can live by their example and learn from their example. So, I want to present to you how Peter found his purpose. And I'm going to demonstrate to you how he did that. Now, his purpose ultimately was pretty big. He was a fisherman. Ultimately, he left all of that behind and followed after Jesus. He was one of the original 12 disciples, the oldest disciple, kind of the leader of the disciples, part of the inner three, along with James and John. The three of them were the closest to Jesus. After Jesus' death and resurrection and the formation of the church, Peter was an early leader in the church. Few people have influenced the world the way Simon Peter has influenced the world. So if he found purpose, and it was an amazing purpose, because if he wasn't obedient in his call, maybe none of us would be here. That's how influential his purpose was. And because of how he found his call, maybe we can look inside of what he did and understand that the same things that he did in order to find purpose, maybe we can also. So what did he do? We're going to look at a story found in God's Word. And by the end of this story, after I tell you the two things that Peter did, you are going to say, Pastor Steve, you have really oversimplified this. I mean, this is what we paid for. You're going to tell us these two things? I could have figured these two things out on my own, but sometimes God's truth and unlocking God's truth is incredibly, powerfully simple. Like hand in front of our face. But I'm not going to just leave you there with the two things and you're going to say, if that's all there is to it, okay, thanks for the sermon, Pastor. We're going to then back up and we're going to gain four perspectives. So if you are a note taker, maybe you say, find purpose. The two how-tos, number one and number two, and then four perspectives or four ways to look at what Peter did and how he did it that applied not only to him, but to each one of us. Maybe it'll get the juices flowing. So if you've brought your word, you can turn with me to the fifth chapter of the Gospel of Luke. But I need to set up the scene. This is early in Jesus' ministry. He was about to call his disciples. He was about to choose them. He was about to invite them into his context. He didn't force them. He was going to invite them. But this is early in the ministry. But he had selected a handful. And I want you to picture the scene there at a lake. And oh, by the way, Simon, as it's referred to in this part of Scripture, and his brother Andrew were fishermen. They were partnered in business with two other fishermen named James and John, also referred to as the sons of Zebedee. So the four of them had a little fishing business together. They were professional fishermen. This is how they made their living. This is how they provided for their families. They had boats, they had nets, they had an industry, they had business. And this scene plays out at the edge of a lake, and it's not a coincidence that Jesus chose this particular location because he knew that Andrew and Simon and James and John would be bringing their boats in after a long night of fishing. And they were there along the shoreline with their boats pulled up to shore, washing their nets. They had to wash their nets, you see, because if they didn't wash their nets, they would rot with all the gunk and the algae and the stuff that gets hung up in the nets. After trolling them around all over the lake all night, they get filled with a bunch of stuff that's going to rot the nets. So when they came back in, whether they had fish or not, they had to wash their nets. So they're washing their nets beside their boats. And there is a crowd of people gathered around a man who is speaking. That man is Jesus. I just want you to picture this scene. What would it have been like on a beautiful morning, the sun coming up, S-U-N, rising, and you're with the S-O-N, you're with the Son of the Living God, and you're with him, and he is speaking. And you're part of the crowd. And you have that beautiful opportunity, the privilege to be able to be in his presence. This is the scene that is happening. But Jesus isn't there just for those folk. Although I'm sure that Jesus took the time to speak about his favorite topic all the time. I believe what Jesus was probably talking about to that crowd of people, to the congregation that day, his favorite topic. You see, John the Baptist's favorite topic went something like this: the kingdom of heaven is near. Jesus' favorite topic was the kingdom of heaven is here. It was here. Everything he spoke was from that truth. So he was speaking to the crowd, but he wasn't there for that crowd that day. He was there for the four: Andrew, Simon, and James, and John. He was there for them. Because this was the moment. that they would find purpose. But they did something that we can do. And it wasn't because these four men had some super faith that we don't have, because we have that. We've been made in the image of God. We've been given a purpose in life. We're the same as they are, but what did they do in this moment that was different than maybe what we're doing with our lives? Let's see. Do you have the scene in your heart? Is it in your mind? Can you picture it? This is when I read God's word, this is what really helps me, is to picture it with my imagination. I want to imagine what I'm seeing, what I'm hearing, what I'm smelling even. Because it brings God's word more to life. So let the Holy Spirit just open up your imagination and try to picture this scene. If you've brought your Bibles, you can turn with me to Luke chapter 5. The first 11 verses, Peter and the other three find purpose. As I read these words, these are not my words, these are words of the Lord God Almighty. Luke writes these words, they're inspired by the Lord himself, and they're written through the gospel writer. If you would like to stand or pray or close your eyes or raise your hands, whatever you choose to do, but these are not Pastor Steve's words. These are the words of the Lord God. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. It was God himself. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. Can you picture it? He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, that's Peter, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. Can you picture this? He goes to Peter, Peter's boat, and he asks Peter, can you put out just a little bit to shore, because I want to use your boat as a platform to speak to the people. So Peter did that. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat, James and John, to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. Knee deep. Picture this. Knee deep, standing in fish. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. For he and all of his companions were astonished at catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. You know this passage. From now on, you will fish for people. So they pulled their boats up on shore and listened to this, left everything, and followed him. Praise be to the Lord God for the reading of his word. Two things happen in this passage that helped Simon find purpose, his purpose. And you're going to say, Pastor, this is too simple. Jesus was teaching by the shore, and I would imagine that as Simon and Andrew and James and John were washing their nets just a few feet away, they weren't just concentrating on the nets, but I would imagine they were listening to the words of Jesus. And then once Jesus came to Peter and said, can I use your boat? Can we just take it out to shore from shore just a little bit so I can sit down and address the people? I would imagine that every word that Jesus spoke, Simon, Peter, hung on to every syllable. The first way to find purpose is so simple, is you listen to Jesus. So many times we have audience with Jesus and we want it to go the other way around. I need Jesus to hear me. I got a long laundry list of stuff that's going on. I need Jesus to hear from me. But if you want to find purpose, you want to find truth, you want to find direction, you want to find what God has for you, then you need to listen to Him. Just sit and listen. The second thing that Peter did that, like, oh, well, yeah, duh, that's pretty easy, Pastor. Jesus asked him a couple of times to do something. He asked him first, Simon, I'm going to climb up in your boat. Do you mind moving it out to shore just a little bit farther so I can sit here and address the people? He did that. And then the second thing is, let's go a little deeper and let's put the nets down for the catch. He did that too. The second way to find purpose, you listen to Jesus. Here's the second thing. You obey Jesus. Now, does that sound simple? It does. It's beautifully simple, church. That's all there is to it. You listen to Jesus. And you obey Jesus. I can say amen. And we could leave. And you'd be like, okay, I understand how to find purpose. But it's too simple. It sounds romanticized. Okay, we listen to Jesus and then we obey Jesus. I'm going to give you four perspectives to think about that kind of will help us today. The first thing to understand, which I think is beautiful, and it captivates my heart, is the idea that Jesus stepped into Simon's context. You see, what he didn't do was wait for Peter to come to him. He went to Peter. He could have sent Peter off to seminary or to go on a spiritual journey to find truth. And then he would be equipped to follow after him. He didn't do that. Instead, what Jesus did is he stepped into Peter's context, into his world. He was a fisherman. Where do fishermen go? To the lake. They have boats. They have nets. Jesus went to where Peter was. And I can promise you this. That's beautiful to me because God loves us enough to pursue us. God loves us enough to show up at the places that we go, the places you go. He will show up in your home. He will show up in your school. He will show up in your workplace. Wherever it is, He will step into your context. Now just think about how amazing that is because this is the author of creation. And we find in the first chapter of John, we find this to be true, that Jesus is the author of creation. The one that spoke everything into existence steps into your context because he wants you to discover your purpose to glorify him by. That's amazing. He loves you enough to step into your world to show you how to bring him glory. He doesn't wait for you to figure it out on your own. He steps into where you are. That is awesome. The second thing that happened is there is a process. He asked Peter a couple of times to do something for him, and he was obedient. I say this all the time. You want God's faithfulness? You want God's blessing? Then you must be obedient. It doesn't work the other way around. But that's what humanity wants. Humanity wants God to prove himself And then if God shows up in some spectacular way, then I will be obedient. Then I will trust. Then I will believe. But the Lord God does it the other way around. He expects us to be obedient. If He speaks, He expects us to obey. And when that happens, that's when the blessings flow and purpose for our life is found. He needed to step into the context of Jesus with boldness. Simon, I need to use your boat. Okay. Simon was obedient. When he got done speaking, he said, let's go out a little farther from shore and let's throw the nets down for the catch. Scripture tells us they had caught nothing and they had fished all night. These are professional fishermen. They know how to fish a lake and they had caught nothing. Now imagine you're in the sandals of Peter and you just heard Jesus say, let's just go out a little farther and let's drop the nets for the catch. Master, we fished all night, bro, and caught nothing. But if you say so, why do you think Simon called him master? I'm going to give you two things here. He was starting to see Jesus for who he really was because he was listening to Jesus. Listen, the Bible says that our faith grows not because of what we see, but by hearing. When we hear the word of God, when we listen to Jesus, it causes our faith to grow. Simon was beginning to believe that what Andrew told him, and this is found in the first chapter of the book of John. You see, this wasn't the first time that Simon had interacted with Jesus. It went this way. Andrew had been a disciple of John the Baptist, and he comes back. He comes back to find his brother and says, we have found the Messiah, the Christ. The one that we've been waiting for centuries, we found him, and his name is Jesus. And he takes Simon to go meet Jesus. Jesus changes his name right there. Your name is Cephas. He had met Jesus. His brother Andrew said, this is the Messiah. There was something that was stirring in Simon's heart. Faith was starting to bloom. So at the time that Jesus said, let's just go out a little further from the lake, from the shore, and put down the nets for the catch, Simon's faith had grown to the point where he saw Jesus clearly for who he was, and he said, Master, he addressed him correctly. He was stepping into the context of Jesus, and he obeyed. You want blessings? You want to find purpose? There will be opportunities for you, but only if, when Jesus speaks, if you obey. Only then. And the third thing, how can I say this? I'm going to say it as gently as I can, Sonny. And you hear me say this all the time, that I am nothing more than a pile of filthy rags on my best day. I say that all the time because I have a perspective that I think is the perspective that we need to have. It goes like this. None of us are worthy of being a part of God's plan. Broken, sinful humanity? How is it that broken, sinful humanity could have purpose of going out and saving broken, sinful humanity? How could broken, sinful humanity, that's me and you, ever glorify the Lord God? How am I worthy to do that? I am not. Why Jesus has chosen us to glorify Him, I don't understand that, but here's what I trust. Here's what I trust. That your life's purpose is to bring Him glory. That makes you worthy. What Peter did in this moment, when he saw the miraculous catch, he fell at the knees of Jesus. Now I want you to picture this. Jesus and Peter standing in Peter's boat, with fish up to the knees, and the boat is about to sink, and Peter throws himself down in the midst of the fish at Jesus' feet and says, "Master, depart from me because I am a sinful man." He realized something that we need to realize. If we want to find purpose, if we want to find his purpose for us to bring him glory, it is that we are not worthy of that. Jesus' response, "Don't be afraid. I'm going to make you worthy one day. I'm going to make you worthy. And you're going to serve me in ways that you can't imagine." Church, you are worthy because he says you're worthy. But in your humanness, you will never find purpose. You have to realize that it's not about you. Finding purpose is not about your purpose and how I'm going to succeed. It's about how am I going to glorify the Lord God by how I choose to live my life. Brother Rick Warren said, the first thing you need to understand is life isn't about you. Get over yourself. It's about him, not you. If you want to find purpose, you must realize that it isn't to benefit you. However, when you find the purpose that God has carved out for you to glorify him, you will live your life in the abundance that Jesus said he came to give us, life abundant, life in the full. That's a good life, but that's not meant for your benefit only. It's to glorify him. And no matter what that purpose is, it's for him. And then there's one more thing, Wesleyans, and we need to understand this. He invites us into his context. He invites us to find the purpose that's going to glorify him. But the choice is ours. He lets us choose. He didn't make Andrew and Simon and James and John follow him, but he gave the invitation and they chose it. Church, if you listen to Jesus, you begin to obey Jesus, and you realize that God will reveal his great purpose for your life, even though you might feel unworthy, I do, you still get to choose. It's easy on a beautiful Sunday morning in a beautiful sanctuary to say, "God, use me. However you wish, use me," because it's easy right now. But what if the place that he wants to use you is dark and it's scary and it's frightening? You get to choose whether or not you will glorify God by whatever path that he sets you on. He challenged 4 professional fishermen. "You're no longer going to fish for fish. I can show you how to fish for men." But it required them to leave their boats and their nets right where they were. In other words, to leave their entire life behind and come follow me. We would have never known these 4 men had they stayed in the boat and said, "Thank you for the great catch today. Woo! We got enough to feed our family for about a year now." We know these 4 men because of their obedience. They heard the words of Jesus. They obeyed the words of Jesus. And then they accepted the call. Now here's the thing. You don't just find the big purpose. Although Simon and Andrew and James and John found the big purpose that day. I mean, they spent the entirety of their life following after Jesus. And then speaking to others about Jesus until they died. That's big purpose. You may have a moment where the Lord Jesus Christ is inviting you into your big purpose of what you're going to do for the rest of your life to serve him, but The same things are said in the little things of life too. You are going to have opportunities tomorrow to do something little for somebody that's going to make a difference. It might make an eternal difference. It might not be the grand purpose to leave everything behind that changes the entire trajectory of your life, big picture. But every single day, you have the opportunity to listen to the words of Jesus, to obey the words of Jesus, and find purpose for the moment, even if it's a small moment. Don't let any moment pass by, because every moment matters to somebody. Every single day, you can find purpose that glorifies Him in the little things that you do. Brother Tom, when you offered to ride with me, if I needed to take Sister Joni to the hospital, thank you for loving me enough that you didn't want me to be alone in that. Finding purpose in the little things. It's easy for me to say, if you listen to the words of Jesus and obey the words of Jesus, Jesus might reveal to you some big grand plan for the rest of your life that may or may not happen tomorrow. Or maybe your plan just happens a little bit at a time. Something tomorrow is going to happen. There will be an opportunity tomorrow and the next day and the day after that to glorify Him because you have chosen to listen to Him. You've chosen to obey Him. The small ways matter just as much as the big way. So every day then is a day that we can find purpose. Have I oversimplified it? To listen to the words of Jesus and just obey Jesus? Here's what it takes, though. It takes us to realize that life isn't about us. I'm not worthy to serve Him, but I get to. That's pretty awesome. Jesus steps into my context. Listen, tomorrow at school, you will have the opportunity to glorify Him. Because do you think everybody at Newcastle High School loves the Lord God Almighty? Very unlikely. He'll send you into places. You'll have the opportunity to glorify Him. That's pretty amazing. God wants to use me. God wants to use you to bring Him glory. I don't know why He does that. I've said that many times to you over the years. I don't understand why. But He chooses to. And what a privilege that is. But it starts right here in our hearts. How to find purpose? It's pretty simple. Will you do it? Which means you're going to have to spend some time with Jesus, and Susan, you're going to have to do less speaking and more hearing. You listen and you obey. And you listen and you obey. And then the path is clear. Brother Jim is going to lead us. This morning, I want you to just start thinking about what tomorrow might bring me in my life. Will there be an opportunity? You better believe there will be an opportunity to bring Him glory in the big things, especially in the little things. Every interaction, it just matters so much, because there's a dying world that's waiting to be caught by fishers of men. Brother Jim? You have a seat just for a moment. I'm going to give you one more thought. And it's kind of the secret sauce, because it's the thing that is going to unleash and unlock this secret. The whole principle rides on this. Is it okay that Peter was skeptical? Because when Jesus said, just put out a little further and let down the nets for the catch, he said, Master, kind of did this already, all night. He was skeptical. He didn't know that that would work. But he did it anyway. It went like this. Master, that's the proper perspective of who Jesus is. I don't understand your plan. And you might not understand His plan for your life. But I'm going to do it anyway. That unlocks the power. It was okay that he was skeptical. Because I would imagine that in this moment, Jesus, probably in his heart, thought, I'm so glad you said that, Peter. And maybe a little wry smile came on the face of Jesus. Oh, you're skeptical. But you're going to do it anyway, Peter? Just wait and see what happens. Not because you're obedient, but because you're obedient in spite of your skepticism. You still trusted and you still believed. Just wait and see what the Lord God will do. In spite of your fears, in spite of your doubts, it's okay to have those. We're human. Master, I don't get it, but I'm going to do it anyway. That's when Jesus will reveal his plan for your life to bring him glory, church. That's where the secret is. It doesn't matter what he's asking you to do or where to go. No matter if it's easy or hard, just do it. And you will see a catch beyond your wildest imagination. You will see things that you never thought were even possible. Church, you are sent.